Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to the Not Your Average, yet far from typical, most definitely special April Sims A&E Radio. My co-host is the Poetry Man, but everybody, the Poetry Man, he had some other things that he had to do. And so, you know, we keep our feet on the ground and our minds to the sky, and our motto is because we are greater than I. My name is April Sims, and this is April Sims A&E Radio, and we have taken A&E Radio to another level with www.wearegreaterthanI.com. After the lights of April Sims A&E Radio go out, www.wearegreaterthanI.com is still open, educating, motivating, and inspiring indie artists, underexposed artists, and entrepreneurs. So make sure you get over there and check that out. Our guest today is no stranger to April Sims A&E Radio Show. He is and I'm going to say that he's a legend. He might disagree with me, but I'm going to say that he is a legend in his own time. He is a jazz pianist, a composer, a producer, a teacher, and also an activist. Typically, when he comes onto the show, he comes on the show in the capacity as a jazz artist. But today, he is coming on the show in the capacity as an advocate for the homeless. And with that being said, I would like to welcome to the show everybody, none other than a legend in his time, Mr. Brian O'Neill. Thank you so, so much, Brian, for taking the time to come on to the show. And I'm talking really slow because I'm trying to find my applause buddy. Here it is.
You know, April, every introduction you give me, I've been on your show, what, 3 or 4 times, and each introduction has been better than the last. You're kind of outdoing yourself here.
Wow, that's because I have guests like you. How can I not give someone like you a great introduction for all the things that you're doing and all the things that you do behind the scenes? I mean, I'm not going to put you on blast. I would love to, but you just help so many out of the public eye, and I just think that you're an incredible person.
Oh, thank you, April. Thank you. You got to excuse me for sounding funny and like I'm muffled because I'm actually curled up in an electric blanket sitting on the floor.
Oh, no.
I'm just trying to get over a little illness I had, flu, from being on a cruise. Actually, the cruise left out of your area, April. I didn't see you that time.
I know. I was working.
Yeah, I know. You know, you talk about me being busy and doing so many things.
Yeah, I'm definitely busy.
Yeah, I know.
Well, everyone that is a fan of Brian O'Neill, can I tell you guys how much he loves you? Because I actually wanted Brian to cancel the show because he's not feeling well. But he said no, he's going to do the show. That's how much he loves you guys. So you guys make sure, if you already have a CD, to go out and buy another one. And if you cannot afford to buy another one, get over to Amazon.com or CDBaby.com and write up a good review for his CD because the man is watching. Or the woman, whoever.
April, you are so hired.
Hey, I told you, I am so a member of your unofficial street team. And the reason, everybody, why I say unofficial is I just don't have the time to dedicate full time to Brian. But if you have the time to dedicate full time to him, please do it. But I'm definitely out there. Every little fan mail that I get from you guys, I'm blogging it, I'm reposting it. You know, I'm doing my part.
Yes, yes you are. But you know, even if people don't join the street team thing, I think what we're going to talk about today will be just as good if they, you know, listen to this message and really take it to heart and you know, hop on that team of the Dew Foundation. So
most definitely.
We'll get into talking about that. So yes, where would you like to start?
Well, since you brought it up, if you can let everybody know about the Dew Foundation and how it was birthed.
Well, the Dew Foundation is actually D-O Foundation, and D-O stands for Daisy O'Neill, my late grandmother. So here I am naming something else after my grandmother. But, you know, I titled my last CD and dedicated that to her. Musically, you know, for those reasons, because she kind of brought me up musically. But with the foundation, this is more up her alley. My grandmother gave to so many people throughout her life, no questions, no hesitation. A stranger could walk up to her and ask her for anything, and she'd try to give them everything.
Wow.
There were times that my mom would have to, like, stop her from giving away, like, her kitchen sink. You know, that's how giving my grandmother was. She never talked about that, but as kids, we all saw that. You know, we've had cousins who were fresh out of prison, no place to go. She'd take them in, no matter what their crime was. She'd take them in and take care of them. You know, other relatives that just needed things. They could have been on drugs or just, you know, really bad people. And I'm sure all of us have some of those kind of people in our family. And,
yeah.
As you see, I don't hesitate to admit that I have some. My grandmother took these people in. And it didn't matter what the reason was, you know, for their mishaps or, you know, just the bad things that they were into. She didn't care about that. You know, she helped them out. And she'd always say things like, you know, we're all human and everybody needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her saying those things. As a kid, you know, that would stick with me. So growing up, you know, I've had a chance to witness a lot of homelessness, a lot of hungry people. I don't know. I was always attracted to getting the information about, you know, statistics on homelessness and hungry people, and I was just blown away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never talk about that on the news, or you rarely hear about the homeless people and, you know, all the kids and people that are dying because they're hungry.
Yeah.
And to me, in this day and age, that shouldn't exist. That is the most basic thing that humans need, you know, shelter and food and water. That's like the bottom.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I don't know if Obama knew about this or not, but for the inauguration, in any big event that takes place in D.C., they make all the homeless people move. They clear
wow.
them off of the streets. I guess so all of the visitors that are coming to town won't see them. And then after all the festivities are over, they can go back to their grates or, you know, whatever piece of property in the District of Columbia that they claim. And I just think that that is absurd.
Yes, it is. And part of the foundation's goal is to put that in everyone's face again, you know. People just don't know. Your neighbor could be starving, and you would know. And I say that because I actually know a few people in my area that they look very normal. You know, they still mm-hmm. drive their car to work, and everything's fine. They're barely getting by, but they're scraping by not eating.
Mm.
You know, and I've worked with people before, you know, for months and months and months, and befriended a few guys, actually one guy in particular, and, you know, I would always – invite him over to my place and, you know, to hang out, play paintball, you know, video games and stuff like that. And one day I said, you know, why do you always come here? Why don't we go to your place and hang out or something? You know, you mentioned your brothers and stuff. We can all hang out. He's like, oh, no, you don't want to come to my place. Well, come to find out, this guy was homeless. I mean, he had a job. He had a car, but he was sleeping in his car. He was living in his car.
Oh, my God.
There's another demographic of homelessness that does not get attention. There's actually two other demographics. And one is homeless people who actually live in their cars, and then homeless people who, what they call living from sofa to sofa. You know, mm-hmm. They'll stay with a friend for a few weeks or a month, and then move on to the next friend for a couple months. You know, that's still homelessness. And
wow.
we need to do something about it. Of course, the Dew Foundation is going to start from the bottom, because I believe that the people on the very bottom, and those are the people who are in the streets, in the cold, sleeping on the ground, nothing over their heads, they need help right now.
Yes, they do.
Not next week, not next month, not during the next, you know, election. They need help today.
Wow. And how can we help the Dew Foundation help our citizens that are not in a third world country get off the streets?
Well, there's lots of things we can do. The Dew Foundation is, part of the foundation will be centered around money and resources to help these people. But besides money and resources, which a lot of people, you know, it's a recession, a lot of people don't have a few bucks to give to a homeless guy or, you know, a bum or a beggar, whatever you want to call them on the streets. But I would say this, to, you know, even the people listening to the show tonight, you know, if you run into a homeless person tomorrow or a bum tonight, next week, you don't always have to give them money. And I say this because I actually spent 2 weeks with these people, and I talked with a few of them. And a few of them I just asked, you know, what is it that I can give you right now that will make you happy right now? And believe it or not, almost none of them said, you know, money or a lot of food or a brand new house or a new car. A lot of them said, brother, I just appreciate you talking to me right now. I appreciate you acknowledging that I'm here. I appreciate you smiling, you know, taking the time out to listen to my story. So to everyone else out there, if you can't give a few bucks, smile at that person. You know, don't ignore them. They think that they're invisible, or they're treated as invisible people. And I think that's so unfair, because they're human beings. We're all humans. And I find it really crazy that, you know, the regular people that you know can be out on the streets and see a stray dog or a lost kitten, and they'll rush over to help it, but they'll step over a human being.
And you so humbly said that you spent 2 weeks with them. Let everybody know exactly what that 2 weeks was like.
Well, that 2 weeks, it was rough, you know. Not as rough as they had it, because I did have a couple of advantages, which I needed to have to get the production done. And I had my car and I had my cell phone. So I didn't sleep in the cold under bushes and on the ground. I did go back to my car. But I was out on the streets for the 2 weeks, videotaping all day. I intentionally went without eating for a few days just to to have that feeling. And, you know, when you don't eat for a couple of days, you think differently. You think very differently. When you don't shower for 3-4 days in a row, and you're hungry, and you're kind of cold, you know, your mentality is different. It's like there's no hope. And I can see how easy it is to give up, especially on government. You know, especially on even other human beings. I can see how the homeless people look at other people that have jobs and are successful and look at them with hate. You know, looking at them like, why won't you help me? You know, a dollar. And I would have to say the roughest part was the not eating and then having to go back to my car, and also not being able to help all those people right on the spot, because I really wanted to put the camera down and say, look, all you folks, come on, let's go to this restaurant and you guys eat whatever you want all day. Right. You know, I really wanted to do that, but that wasn't the mission for that day. But that mission is, you know, at the top of the list, and that's coming up real soon. And that'll be something that I'll probably team up with like a dozen other people, and we'll just go out and, you know, find these people and at least feed them, you know, for that moment.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I know a lot. I'm
no,
sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to add that, you know, since I did the video and I posted it and mentioned that I was out there for, you know, 2 weeks with them, and, you know, the message in the video at the very end, it just says, do something. And I got a lot of responses from people. The negative responses were, they're saying, you know, why would I give my hard-earned money to a bum when they can just get a job and get their life together? Or maybe, you know, they deserve to be there because they messed up in life and made bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Well, that's totally wrong. Totally, totally, totally wrong. Of course you got a handful of homeless people. That could be the reason, but no matter what the reason is, it boils down to they're human and they still have to eat. You know, okay. If you have a dog and your dog does bad and he messes all over the carpet and stuff, I mean, you discipline him on the spot, but then you still have the dog. You still feed him.
Exactly.
You know, you still pet him. You don't throw him away. Same thing with humans. And anyway, some of the comments would be, you know, that they don't feel they should give these people anything. You know, they might turn around and just go buy drugs, crack, you know, alcohol, a beer, or something like that. Well, here's the scoop on that. Yes, a lot of them do that. And if you look at it differently, and I can say this, I think I'm qualified to say this since I was out there for a while, is that if you go a few days without eating, really, you had no water or anything, and another homeless person, and a lot of them hang out in groups, another homeless person comes up to you and says, well, here, man, I got some beer. Some lady gave me $5 and bought a six-pack. Take a beer. You're going to take the beer.
Right.
You haven't had anything. So, you know, if you can get beer easier than you can get food, then you're going to take the beer. And eventually you may turn into an alcoholic or, you know, you drink more beer. Same with the drugs. It's just so easy to fall into those things. And we should never, you know, discriminate against people because of those types of things. You know, I mean, the environment kind of dictated to them what they can do, which was basically drugs. You know, some of them have to steal, you know, just to stay warm. They'd steal coats and jackets and shoes, and, you know, they'll steal from each other. If you study psychology, that's you know, it's built into all of us, you know, that will to survive no matter what you have to do. So to me, there's so much money in the world. There's so many other humans that think like me and have big hearts that all it takes is just almost a dollar from every single person, and then we can eliminate the whole thing. You know, what's $1 from everyone?
I agree. And I want to piggyback off of what you said about the drugs and the alcohol. I'm not an alcoholic, and I don't drink frequently. Occasionally when I go out, I'll have a drink. And people have to understand, and I'm pretty sure everybody that's ever taken a drink, when you take a drink, you get a warm sensation. And I can relate to someone being on the street and they're cold and guzzling alcohol because it warms you from the inside out. I could also imagine how it must be to take drugs like the psychedelic drugs or any other type of drug if you study them, because it takes you away. It takes
right.
you outside of your body. Yes, it takes you away from what you're going through. And a lot of people that are on crack, they do it several times a day because the high doesn't last that long. So they keep doing it. If they lived in a mansion, they wouldn't have to do it. And another thing I would like to let people know is a lot of the homeless people are the people that went overseas and fought for us to maintain the lifestyle that we live today. It really upsets me. I will not put the institution on blast, but there's an institution in D.C., and they, after they milk the veterans of their benefits, they put them on the street. Brian, the veterans are literally living outside of this institution.
Oh, I know. And if you don't put them on blast, I will. That's part of the Duke Foundation's goal also, because if we don't create awareness that is clear and clean cut, then we'll all continue walking around, you know, kind of confused on who's doing what and who did what. Maybe not on this show today, but I understand what you're saying. I actually ran into a few of those people, and it was obvious that they were vets, you know, especially the ones that were missing limbs and were in beat-up wheelchairs on the streets, you know, and in Detroit. Detroit's almost in ruins in certain parts, and there were some clips in the video or some clips that I captured on video that I didn't put in the final video because they were so sad. But I remember a gentleman in a wheelchair, and, you know, the sidewalks are not set up. They're not handicap friendly.
Right.
You know, so these guys are having to go down the streets in their wheelchairs as opposed to the sidewalks. And, you know, I just think that's ridiculous. And these guys are vets. You know, but then there's, I did see a few women and children that just, that really got to me, you know, when we saw, it was a young lady and her son, he was maybe 9 or 10, and they were just kind of sprawled out on the ground, and there were so many people just walking by them. But the worst that almost made me put the camera down and just throw my hands up and scream, I just want to go right to D.C. and talk to someone, was, I was in my car. I think I was about ready to come home. I had finished mostly everything. And this clip is in the video. It's a gentleman in a black suit, and he walks up to a trash can. He opens it. He looks for food. There's nothing in there, so he walks off. Well, I continue to follow that guy, and he's walking in downtown Detroit where there's corporations and businesses and multimillion-dollar buildings, and there was this little street cafe. Very nice place. People are sitting outside having dinner or lunch, whatever. And it's obvious this guy is homeless and very hungry. And these people are looking at him, but I see him turn around and talk to a black couple that was sitting on the inside the cafe, which is really just, they're on the sidewalk, but it's gated off. The table and chairs. And this couple is having dinner, and he's talking to them. And I could see that he's smiling. He must be saying something nice because he's smiling to these people. They're smiling back, and they hold a conversation for maybe a minute or so. And then he walks away. I saw him gesture like, thank you, and he walks away. How in the world can any decent human sit there eating and a hungry homeless person walks up and you don't offer him anything? That one did it for me. You know, I was done after that.
Wow. I mean, I can definitely relate to that. I was recently in D.C. on a photo shoot, and apparently this one homeless lady goes into this cafe all the time, and it was really packed, and the owner put her out. And then he turned to all the patrons, which I was one of them, and because I really didn't know what was going on. The young man that I was with, he actually filled me in on everything. Anyway, he said to all the patrons that were there, you feed them once, and they keep coming back. Like she was a cat. So after my friend told me that, I said, let's leave. We already paid, so it's not like I could skip out on the check.
Right.
But I left, and I can honestly tell you that I will never patronize, that establishment will never get another penny from me.
Well, that's probably a smart thing to do, but even better, if that happens again, tell the owner what you're doing. Tell him personally that you will not come back because of what he did. Because if you don't tell him, then they don't know any better, then he'll continue to do it.
That's,
you know, it's
true.
All about the awareness. You have to let people know. You know,
that's
you can
true.
Talk to your, when we finish this conversation, the next person you talk to, you can slip something in, like, you know, the homeless issue in America is pretty bad, and next time you run into a homeless guy, you know, smile at him, say hello, you know, and if you got some change, give it to him, you know, it doesn't hurt anyone.
No, it doesn't. And when you were saying that you never know who's hungry, when I was working my 9-to-5, there was someone, no one knew who it was. They didn't know if it was the cleaning crew or someone who worked for the company, but someone was eating half of a lunch, kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And people were getting really upset, saying, I can't believe, you know, someone is eating our lunch. Mm-hmm. But one of my girlfriends, you know, she stepped to a lot of people in the company and said, that person must be really hungry to eat a stranger's food.
Yeah.
You never know the shoes that someone else is wearing.
No,
you know, so one thing, and she went to personnel and, you know, and talked to them about it and told them how she felt. So one thing that personnel started doing is they bought oatmeal and hot chocolate. So whoever that person was, and then the lunches stopped disappearing. So whoever that person was, at least, you know, they were getting the oatmeal and the hot chocolate.
Yeah, it's amazing. And this person worked in your building, right?
They had to work there because
yeah.
you need a badge to get in.
Yeah.
You just couldn't walk
well,
in.
Yeah, see, that's that other demographic of people that you would never know are, you know, dire straits, just, you know, teetering complete homelessness and hunger. And a lot of these people, like I said, they have jobs and they have cars and, you know, they may have family and all, but they have pride. And that's the reason why a lot of people don't speak up. You know, the first 2 days that I was out on the streets, my pride was like there, and it's like there's no way I can just walk up to someone and ask for anything. By
mm-hmm.
day three, I was so doggone hungry, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, if I had to walk up to someone and ask for money or food or something like that, now I see what it feels like on
right.
the other side. And I would hate to walk up to some business guy who's getting into, you know, Mercedes to drive home and ask him for a dollar so I can eat something and him
mm-hmm.
looking at me saying, you know, no, I don't have any money or no, get away from me, get a job or something like that.
Right.
That feeling, you know, that didn't happen, but the thought passed through my head. And, you know, all the reason to really get this Duke Foundation up and running as soon as possible.
Exactly. I used to be a paralegal. That's what I did at my 9-to-5. And one of the attorneys that I worked for, because we were having a conversation about homeless, and I said, you know, one thing that really upsets me is McDonald's, Hardee's, and all these restaurants throw their food away. And when I was in cooking school, I asked them, why can't we give our food to the homeless? And they said, because we'll get sued. So I was telling
yeah.
My boss about that. But their insurance protects them. She said, that is pure BS. Restaurants can give food away.
Yeah,
that's
I did some research. I did lots of research on that because the Duke
mm-hmm.
Foundation will be a part of collecting food like that from restaurants. And you've heard of food banks. Well,
yes.
That's what they do. They go to mostly privately owned restaurants and
mm-hmm.
pick up their leftovers, and they deliver those to food banks and churches and the shelters. That can be expanded, you know, greatly because there aren't enough, and there's more food thrown away than there are food banks to collect.
To the homeless
counter,
in New York.
If it touches the counter, if any food touches the counter or it's, you know, if a hamburger is not perfectly round, if a
mm-hmm.
french fry is sticking out of the bag and it touches the rail, is to be thrown away. I remember them throwing away so much food at McDonald's. And I was 16. This is back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And back then I thought, this is ridiculous. I remember my mom making me eat all my vegetables and saying that, you know, little kids in Africa would kill to have those vegetables, eat all your food. You know, there's starving kids in Africa. I used to hear that all the time. Well, there's starving kids here, too. And there's starving adults here. And it just makes no sense for food to go to waste. And, of course, I'll be lobbying in D.C. against all this stuff. The Dew Foundation I'm going to grow this thing to be ridiculously large with the help of everyone.
Well, I can, and I'll say this on the air, and you guys, you can rip what I'm saying or you can pass along the entire archive show. But when you come to D.C., let me know, and I will donate my time to you as a photographer and cover what it is that you're doing.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah, I so believe in, you know, in what you're doing. And we have a caller, a patient caller, that has called back a couple of times. Caller, area code, let me get you off of mute. Caller, area code 325, your name?
Dana.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Dana, my Dana. Actually, Dana is, she's going to be working for the foundation. I'm glad you called, Dana. I've already hit her up in Atlanta about joining the team for the Dew Foundation. And you're in Texas, so I still haven't decided whether or not I need to move you here or let you start like a whole division down in Texas.
I was going to ask you, when are you moving me there?
Yeah, we're still working out details, and it's really to, if I'm starting small, I'm going to start right here in my local community, but I expect to expand that to the rest of the world, you know, as fast as possible. So who knows where you're going to end up.
Okay. Well, I'm just glad to talk to y'all and just keep doing what you're doing. It's really an informative show tonight, and I'm really enjoying listening to it and learning a lot of things.
You're enjoying listening to it. Dana, tell us your part, what it is that you're doing for the Dew Foundation.
Well, right now I'm just talking to Brian. We talked a lot in Atlanta and just about what his vision is and what he plans to do with it and, you know, on what levels. And I'm just there to help in any way that I can help, you know, if it's being out on the street and helping, you know, he was talking about talking to the homeless and seeing what their needs are, like he talked about a while ago. Mm-hmm. You know, what are their immediate needs? Talked to him and Kelly a little bit in Atlanta about, you know, expanding that into, you know, maybe helping with getting jobs and, you know, getting things right now, instead of having to go to this place to get this paper signed and go to this other place to get this done. And, you know, like he was talking about a while ago about, you know, people don't need anything a month or 2 months from now. They need it right now.
And Dana, the reason why I asked you that is because even though Brian doesn't consider himself this, he's a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you, and we haven't rehearsed this phone call or anything, and the reason why I asked you on the spot is to let people know that Brian is serious.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not doing this for the notoriety.
No.
No, and he's the kind of person that everything he so far that I've seen that he's wanted to do in his life, he's done. And so I have every reason to believe that he is, you know, and he's been thinking about this for about a year, I think he told me. And, you know, he's done everything else that he said he's going to do, and I have every reason to believe that he'll continue to, you know, work hard. It's not something he's just got ideas about. I think he's really going to put them into action. I think, you know, I told him I was glad that he was actually somebody that was going to do something and not somebody that's going to talk about it.
Well, speaking of that phrase you just said, do something, it's, you know, the foundation is called Dew Foundation, but it was Dana who responded back and said, oh, that's a cool title, and then she wrote Do Something. And, of course, I had to keep that because it just really, it really goes with the entire, you know, the name, the slogan, the branding of it. So Dew Foundation, Do Something. Thank you, Dana, for coming up with that.
Well, you're welcome. But that came from, you know, the fact that he's actually doing something and not just talking about it. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, Dana also brings a ton of knowledge and history that, you know, some things I missed in all of my researching. Dana has worked in some of those environments before and has come to the table with, like, you know, I'd say a few things based on my experience and what I've read, and she'll say, well, yeah, you're almost right, but, you know, there's this, 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 and this. I'm like, oh, boy, I didn't know that. There's no way I would know unless I talk to people who have, you know, worked in those environments before. So perfect candidate to be part of the group. But then, you know, there are no prerequisites to help other people. You know, basically, if you
right.
have a good heart and you don't need to be rich, you don't need to have a ton of resources. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, you talk to a few homeless people and ask them what they want right this minute. I mean, you can be in the freezing cold and they haven't eaten all day and you ask them, what do you want right this minute? It's not always, you know, money, a house, you know, fancy things. Sometimes it's just to talk with them, to smile, a hug, or to just listen to them. So there's a wide
yeah.
range of things we can do, and we're going to start from the bottom and just start helping people. And like Dana said, and we talked about this in Atlanta, is that people need help right now, today.
Exactly.
We don't need to go out there and find them and say, hey, here's the shelter that's over on 4th Street that you can go to, and they're open at 8 o'clock. If you get there and get in line, you can sleep tonight. No, it's not about that, because believe it or not, the homeless people, they know of all the shelters on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them don't want to go to those shelters because, first of all, the men don't really get in that quick. They let in the women and children. Well, you know, that's a good thing. But these shelters fill up so fast, especially in the winter seasons. And we know it gets really cold here in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But then after the churches and the shelters, you know, these people, they look for vacant houses. They huddle together in dark alleys. I mean, they're on the streets and they're in the cold. So if you were to ask a person, what can I do for you right this minute, a lot of times they may say, can you give me some gloves and a scarf, you know, a better jacket? A lot of them have baskets and shopping carts, and they'll have their life possessions in these carts. Well, why not get them something better than that, like a really nice backpack, one of those camping backpacks. They can get all their stuff in there. You know, that's immediate help. Of course, it doesn't solve the problem of long-term homelessness, but like I said, speaking with a lot of these people, they want help and some relief today.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think as far as, you know, next month or next year. It's today. When you're hungry and cold today, all you're thinking about is today.
And one of the problems with the shelters is they put you out during the day for some reason. And so if you're not working, you're out there with all your bags and, like you said, the shopping cart or what, you know, you have to take all your belongings with you, and then you're still out in the cold all day. So,
and I'm glad that you guys brought that up, because a lot of people say, you know, why are they sleeping on the grate when they can be in the shelter? And what both of you brought up is there is a cutoff, and not everybody's going to make it in. And even if you get there 2 hours before, it doesn't matter. It's like a concert. When the tickets are gone, the tickets are gone. And one suggestion that I have for a lot of people, I understand, I truly do understand that when you give your clothes away to different organizations that you get the tax credit. But why not hold out one coat from the clothes that you're going to give away and give it to a homeless person? And not that I have anything against Goodwill, Salvation Army, so on and so forth, but when you give your clothes to them, they sell them.
Yes, there is, and I'm still doing research on all the charities, and I'm glad we have charities, and they all work pretty decent, but Dew Foundation is going to work very different from your typical charity. You know, if people want to donate to the Dew Foundation, and we're planning on having a large warehouse where we can store, you know, things that people need, if you want to give to that, we are going to guarantee that what you give us goes right back out the door. You know, if a person pulls up in their pickup truck and says, yeah, I got this old refrigerator, it works, I just don't need it. Well, it's not going to sit in our warehouse and we're going to try to sell it, or we're going to call around and see who needs it. We'll already know who needs it, and it's going to go right back out. Same with food, coats, clothing. Obviously, it's nonprofit. But I'm still trying to decide whether it's going to be a nonprofit organization that's public or private. And there are advantages and disadvantages. When you're public, you have to maintain a certain amount every year for taxes and a bunch of legal stuff. When you're private, that means that someone like, you know, suppose I contact LeBron James, you know, millionaire. It's like, hey, buddy, you know, I got this foundation. I'm trying to help people on the streets and all. If you want to drop $1 million in the foundation, this money is privately run. Therefore, we can do whatever we want with it. And our mission is you give us $1 million, $1 million goes into the streets like the very next day. You know, it's not, we don't have to maintain a certain amount to report to the government. So, you know, we're still working on all the paperwork, and I've got a legal team that's putting all the registrations and stuff together, and this should be up and running as an organization within the next couple months. But in the meantime, without the organization, people can still go out there and do a few of the things that I suggested earlier and just, you know, smile at homeless people. If you have a dollar, give them a dollar. It doesn't matter if they're going to go right down the street and buy cigarettes or alcohol. That's going to make them happy for that moment.
Well, one thing, and it's, I guess you could say, a double-edged sword. I have a suggestion as well as a challenge to all of my photographers in the Detroit area, to all of my makeup artists, to all of my clothing stylists, hairstylists, so on and so forth. One thing that Brian said is a lot of these people, instead of food, they just want kindness. How cool would it be for a photographer to open up their studio and a makeup artist donate her time, hairstylist donate her time, and for one day, and not even a day, for a couple of hours, treat these people like the kings and queens that they are, and give them the pictures. Because if they're going to be on the street, at least they'll have a nice image of themselves instead of that image that they see in the mirror all the time.
Yeah, that helps with their spirit, and it gives them a little more hope. You know, and a lot of them look at the government and say, well, there's no hope there. There's no one in government. There's no program that can help me right now. I've tried it. I've gone here. I've filled out this paperwork, and you know, when you're homeless and they shuffle you around the system, you can't get around to those places. I mean, these folks told me, I got this form from this place, and I filled it out, but they want me to walk 3 miles back to the place to give it to them, and then I had to go someplace else. By that time, they give up. You know, they deal with living in the streets. That needs to stop. You know,
exactly.
Part of the Due Foundation will be to help these people, the ones that do want to be in the system and try to get some help, would be to take them around and get all their paperwork done. And in the meantime, you know, they eat for the day. We take care of them for the day. You know, that for me, that would cost almost nothing. You know, what does it cost to grab 4 or 5 homeless people off the streets and take them out to dinner? And for me, it's nothing to take them out to dinner and then go over to Walmart or Best Buy and just say, hey, just buy all the stuff you think you need while you're out here. Toothbrush, toothpaste, you know, some jackets, some shoes, gloves. That is nothing. And even though it is just 4 or 5 people, you know, it's 4 or 5 people less. You know,
exactly.
It's miserable. You know, we have to start somewhere. And if we can just grow this and make it viral, I don't know if many people have seen the movie Pay It Forward, but I suggest, you know, if you've never heard of that movie, look it up and go rent it from Blockbuster and you know, check it out. This is exactly what I'm doing, is paying it forward.
Well, and one thing about checking it out, everybody, make sure you go to youtube.com/Brian O'Neill and look at his video, Dreams in Color. And it's his music along with, and Brian, I know you'll say who the guitarist is, along with a featured guitarist. And it's basically summing up Brian's 2 weeks that he spent on the street as a homeless person. And he does tell you, yes, I did have access to my phone, a video camera, and my car.
Right.
But he still felt the pain. Not as deep as they did, but he
I knew that I had a home to go to, and that eventually once that was over, I can, you know, take a shower, shave, eat. But, yeah, there's a big difference when you don't have anything to look forward to.
Exactly. Exactly. And everybody, I mean, the thing is, everyone's talented in some sort of way. And even if you cannot provide the food, If you can burn in the kitchen, you need to get over there and do some cooking. And 1 hour a month, which isn't a lot to the person who's given of the 1 hour, but it is a world of difference to the person that you're giving that hour to. So with the Do Foundation, and Brian, you can shut me up if you want to. With the Do Foundation, I mean, if you're a graphic artist, you know, get together with Kelly or Brian. I'm pretty sure that they need flyers done. If you're a printer, you know, if you can give up some of your product to print the final product, I think that that would be great. All of this stuff you can write off as charity because you're helping a charitable foundation. You can go to the thrift store and get clothes dirt cheap. And
right.
Brian, I have 2 tubs of clothes that I would be more than happy to give to you. They are dressy. I don't know if you would have a dance for one night for them or something like that, because I actually bought all the clothes for photo shoots.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not doing that anymore. So they've just been sitting for the past 6 months.
Okay, well, April, don't give them to me. And you're in the D.C. area, and I know how it is out there, too. You can find someone out there that would appreciate that.
But you know what, Brian? It's very hard, believe it or not. There are churches that won't take it.
Really?
Yeah, they won't take the clothes. And, you know, this is a little bit off topic, but there's also a foundation here. It's called a Music Link Foundation. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. And basically musicians get together from all across the country and they donate their time to students that cannot afford music lessons. The problem is there are more musicians and teachers than there are students. And the reason is because we don't know where to go. I've never heard of this. But I will be calling because my daughter plays the violin. But if you let me know where I can go, because I've tried and I'm frustrated, but I refuse to give the clothes to someone that's going to sell them, and then we hear about them on the news for taking billions of dollars from the charity.
What about taking them to the shelter itself?
Yeah, sometimes you can just take it directly down to where the people are. And I'm sure they'll give that away. Well, you say they were dressy clothes.
Yeah, they're
they're not going to keep them warm
for the winter.
Yeah, well, if they don't take those dressy clothes, you tell them to hold on to those clothes, because another thing I plan on doing, since I am an entertainer also, and my manager and I talked about this months ago, every show that I do in every different city, we're going to make it a point to grab people out of the shelter, bring them to the show, dress them up, feed them, give them VIP, and let them have a nice evening. So if, you know, if those types of clothes are dropped off at shelters that are a little too snazzy, then you let them know. You know, Brian O'Neill might be coming to town, and he's going to be coming here to get some people to come to his show so they can dress nice.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people that go to church from shelters, because the churches will come and pick them up, and then a lot of them don't want to go because they think they have to dress up, so they might, you know, use that for Sunday church.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll try again. I mean, D.C. is the nation's capital, but, yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Just going to leave it at that. But everybody, definitely make sure you get over to brianoneal.com, and that's B-R-I-A. What it is that he's doing today. And Dana, I applaud you for stepping up and helping. I think that is incredible. if someone could let me know if they could still hear me in the chat room. Dana, can you hear me? Well, we lost Brian, and I still have Dana on the line as far as on the switchboard, but I don't think that she can hear me. But basically, everybody, if you could go over to brianoneal.com, that would be fantabulous to help everybody out. brianoneal.com/dofoundation. Also, get over to youtube.com/BrianOneal and make sure that you look at the Dreams in Color video. Brian, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm back now.
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't know if I was still on or not, because I saw that Dana was still on the line, but she wasn't responding back to me.
Okay. Well, thank you for giving those web addresses out. Really soon, hopefully within a week or so, there will be an official dofoundation.com or foundation.org website available. And, of course, I will put that on blast once it's up and running. And part of the site is going to have a lot of information on there, kind of the mm-hmm. things that people don't know or don't hear about, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of things that we talked about today, just in layman's terms, you know, plain English. And hopefully people will take that information and continue to spread it, and hopefully it'll change their hearts if they are bitter people not wanting to help. And we just, you know, we get this thing going.
Most definitely. And I would definitely like to thank Too Sassy For You, Crockett, The Guest, Janice Berkeley, KB Girl, Kelly Adolph, Lillian Brummett, Matrix One, Miss Spoon, Nasheba, Pooh's Honey, Sir Charles Carey, Soul Poetry, Star Lisa, and TT Diva. Thank you, everyone, for joining us in the chat room. There were a couple of people that were in earlier. I'm sorry that I did not acknowledge you, but what Brian is talking about is just so, so very important. I understand that there are people starving in other countries, but one thing my grandmother used to always tell me is if you aren't taking care of yourself, how in the world are you going to take care of somebody else? So with that being said, we need to take care of our own first. And unfortunately, and this is going to be ugly of me, but unfortunately, there are always going to be hungry people. But we have to take care of our own. I really hate to go sightseeing in D.C. and see homeless people in the nation's capital.
It doesn't make sense for this country especially. Now, other countries, especially third world countries, the reason behind a lot of their poverty is politics and government and, you know, dictators wanting to be greedy and, mm-hmm. you know, take all the money and withhold all the food so they can control their people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much like that here. So it's much easier to start here in the United States because we don't have, you know, politicians withholding food. They just need to release more food and you know, help more people a little bit better. But, you know, if they don't, then there's enough people in this country that if we all just band together, we can make a big difference. And like I said earlier, just if we all donated $1, you know how much money that is?
It's a lot. One thing that I would like to do, Brian, because both of us are artists, I would like to challenge every artist out there to either, well, I don't know, Brian, if you're willing to accept everything, but I am willing, I'll give you my P.O. Box, April Sims, P.O. Box 1916, Rockville, Maryland, 20849. I challenge all of my spoken word artists out there and all of my indie artists to send me one CD and one book. I will sell your CD and book, and I will send all the profits to Brian O'Neill over at the Dew Foundation. So Charles Carey, You already donated 5 CDs for me to give away. Anybody that wants to buy one or all 5 of Sir Charles Carey's CDs, can they make the checks out to the Dew Foundation yet?
Not yet. Let me get all this together, and hopefully by the next week I'll have it all together. So anything written to Dew Foundation will go directly to Dew Foundation, not me.
Okay.
This is not about Brian O'Neill at all. It's not about my music. And also with the website, it's going to be transparent, so people will be able to see numbers. I mean, if you donate a certain amount and it's okay with them to advertise that or to post that on the page, you know, suppose someone sends $20.
Mm-hmm.
If we're able to put your name up there and the amount that you donated, they'll be able to trace that $20 and see that that $20 went right to a person on the streets and fed him for the day.
Wow.
You know, at the beginning stages of Dew Foundation, we're going to track and hopefully videotape most of our actions so that people know that we mean business, and money in the pot goes right out to the people on the streets. And, you know, hopefully we'll get some nice testimonials from people that are getting the help. And I think when people see video clips like that, it will urge them more to get up and do something.
Okay. Well, everybody, you can't make the checks out yet, but I still will accept all of those CDs and books. And actually, I have a whole bunch of CDs if y'all want to buy them. I know some of my NDRs are probably going to kick me in my booty, but I have several CDs by Talam AC, E-Baby. I have a CD by Brian O'Neill that I'm willing to, I don't know, maybe we should have an auction.
Well, you know, that's what you're saying there is a win-win for everyone, because you sell other artists' CDs and books and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting the publicity and you know, they're getting their material out to the world, and at the same time, all that money is helping other people. So that is a very good idea, and keep doing that, April.
Yeah, I'm always brainstorming, Lord. I'm always brainstorming. But my indie artists, get with me. I'm over at WeAreGreaterThanI.com, and let's work on a way that, you know, that we can help. If you donate, of course, I'm going to put your name. I'll put your banner up on my page. Right now, my page is doing very well. I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm just saying it's doing very well, meaning that people will see your banner.
Yeah, and it's okay to toot your horn, especially for this cause.
Okay, toot, toot. I know that was a weak horn.
Yeah. Well, I really love the title of your organization. It really matches, you know, what we're doing. And somehow we're going to connect those two sites together, April. We'll talk about that offline.
Most definitely, most definitely. And everybody that's an artist, I mean, guys, there are just so many things that you can do. You can sell, I don't know, frame a poem, autograph it, you know, do something, guys. Get with me over at www.WeAreGreaterThanI. You don't have to sign up. Put it this way. Hit me up at WeAreGreaterThanI@gmail.com and let's converse. And, Brian, thank you so, so much for coming on to the show. Thank you so, so much for helping homeless people, because everybody, we never know if the money that we donate and the time that we donate today, it might be going to us. Think about that.
Oh, I've thought about it, trust me. And that's another reason why I'm doing this, because, you know, who knows? And some of the stories that I heard, you know, from the homeless people, there were guys that were just a month ago had a good job, a car, and a house, and now they're on the streets because of, you know, string of bad luck or something with government and money and things like that. But thank you, April.
You are so welcome.
For letting me get on the air and, you know, say these things and get it out to the world. It's people like you that help spread the message, and such an important vehicle, you know, to get messages across, internet, TV, radio.
Yes.
I'm actually drilling away at reaching Ellen. No, it's a TV show, Ellen.
Oh, wow, okay.
I think someone had submitted a lot of my material to Oprah, and hopefully, you know, we'll get her attention. But, you know, once I can get really big with this, we'll be on our way.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely putting in the chat room, write Oprah, write Tyra, write. I mean, we have a lot of writers out there. Okay. Well, thank you so, so much, and I wish you luck with this, and you know me. I'm there for you. This is not the end, and I definitely look forward to brainstorming with you guys.
Well,
and take
you,
care of your take care of yourself. Get some medicine. And
yeah, I took some today, and I'm feeling a little better, but I think I should be 100% by tomorrow.
Okay.
But
well,
I'm okay. This is just flu or cold, whatever this stuff is. And
right.
At least my hands are okay. I didn't break a finger or nothing, so I'm happy.
Hey, well, you don't do that. Don't do that. You got to eat.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have a blessed weekend, my friend, and I will definitely keep getting the word out. I have your the picture that you have up now on my site with a link to yours, so if you get any more banners or anything, you know, shoot them my way, and I'll shoot them out to everybody.
Okay, April, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.